You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast. Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoint, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est la bonne idée. Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens. Le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs. John, you found the dogs. He found the dogs.
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup.
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. LaBee.TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro on this Friday, March 22nd. It is the Sick Podcast. Thank you all. I'm in on Fridays. Usually I'm not, and usually Matt O'Han is in. But since we took Tuesday off and Thursday off, because, of course, the Canadians were playing a late-night game on Tuesday night in Edmonton, a late-night game last night in Vancouver, we decided to take it off. So I said to Agnello, listen, all I did this week was the Monday podcast and the Wednesday podcast. So let me come in on Friday night for the Friday podcast in for Matt O'Han. So here I am. And usually a regular on Fridays is Stu Cowan. So we're going to stick with that tradition. And I'm going to welcome Stu in any minute now. The Canadians last night in Vancouver lose by a score of 4-1. The Sick Podcast is brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. It's brought to you in part by LaBee.TV. It's brought to you in part by Playground. It's brought to you in part by Accent Insurance Solutions. And it's brought to you in part by Manscaped as well. So special thanks to all of our sponsors. And I'll give them a couple more mentions between now and the end of the show and tell you what it is exactly they do. But let's get to it. Without further ado, I bring in, from the Montreal Gazette and HockeyInsideOut.com, Stu Cowan. How are you, Stu?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Very, very well. Thank you very much. Friday nights are usually busy, and so I appreciate you taking the time, Stu. Thank you again. All right, okay. Canadians lose in Vancouver 4-1. They lost a close one in Edmonton the other night, 3-2 in overtime. Last night, you know, I've been asked if they were a team that was tired or gave up. And, you know, I don't want to say they gave up because two nights ago they brought it. So it's not like, you know, they brought it two nights ago and two nights later. I don't think they're giving up. But I think what happened last night, Stu, and I'd love to get your take, was the minute they saw that Vancouver meant business and they were going to go that extra mile, well, at that point, there weren't too many guys that were able to match that intensity or that talent on the other side. So, you know, it is what it is, and that was your result.
A mismatch in talent as much as anything, right, Tony, with the players the Habs have right now. And Trevor Letowski, when he spoke with reporters in Vancouver yesterday morning almost foreshadowed what was going to come. You know, we talked about how disappointing the guys were losing at Edmonton. They had battled so hard in the losing overtime the way they did. They almost killed off that penalty, all of it, before the power play goal. And he said it might be tough for them coming back, like against Vancouver. And it was. I think it's you know, it's an emotional sport. Emotions get involved. I think it was a case of Vancouver just a much better team. They played better. The Canes didn't have the talent to match. And I think maybe just emotionally, it's also a long road trip. Maybe emotionally, they were still a little down from the loss of the previous game. Stuff like that happens. But, I mean, there's not many games this season that you can count where the Canadiens' compete level wasn't top level. That was one of the games against Vancouver. That was the compete level wasn't at 100%.
Yeah, already some people are starting to say, though, this team misses Marty St. Louis a lot. Look, yeah, of course they do. Mm-hmm. He's their coach,
yeah,
right? But it's a difficult situation that Letowski's been put in here. Let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's down the stretch. They know they're not going to make the playoffs. And, you know, you're playing some teams now that have something to play for. Like Vancouver wants to finish first in their division.
Yep.
Edmonton wants to finish first in their division. There's not too many games the Canadiens are going to play between now and the end of the year that the team that they're going to be playing against is not playing for something. So it's a tough spot that Letowski's in.
And it's a good spot for the Canadiens as far as the draft. I mean, I know, Tony, you're always talking about, you know, getting that high draft pick. I mean, they do have a really tough schedule moving forward. And one of Marty's biggest strengths as a coach is as a motivator. And he's not there behind the bench. And that's not a knock on Trevor Letowski. But Marty is a real motivator, and he's able to get these guys going, whether it's behind the bench, whether it's in the locker room between periods. And Trevor Letowski's hasn't been a head coach since back 4 years ago or whatever, when he was coaching in the OHL. It's a reason why I think moving forward, one of the things the Canadiens need to do is add an experienced NHL coach behind the bench to help Marty out. But yeah, it's a tough position for Letowski to be put into. Maybe it's a little bit easier because he's on the road. He's not dealing with as many media people as he would be if he was still here in Montreal. We'll see what happens. It doesn't seem like the family situation with Marty is that serious. I hope not anyway. I mean, Letowski talked about how Marty's still been keeping in touch with him. But yeah, it's a tough situation for him to be put into. And again, as I said, Marty St. Louis, one of his biggest strengths is motivating. And last night, they weren't a highly motivated team.
You know, it's coming to the point where I think I'm picking on him, but look, I'm not going to lie to you. Josh Anderson is absolutely driving me crazy. Like he's driving me crazy. Like Josh, like everyone knows he's better than this. And you know what? Players have good and bad seasons up and down, and it happens all the time. And the ones that don't, and they're consistently up top at good. I mean, those are what separate them from the rest, of course, but Anderson's going through motions, man. I didn't even know he played last night.
He's making me look bad, Tony, because last year at the trade deadline, I was one of the people defending him while others, and I think you might have been one of them, I remember being on the podcast and saying, don't trade him, because if you trade him, you're going to be looking for another guy like Josh Anderson the next day. In hindsight, I was wrong. I mean, I'm watching him, and I can't figure out what's happening, because even earlier in the season when he wasn't scoring, when he went through that 20-game stretch or whatever it was to start the season, he was finishing checks. He was getting breakaways all the time. Like, when was the last time he had a breakaway? I can't even remember. Didn't score on them, but he was getting them all the time. And it looks like I'm wondering if it's possibly a couple of things. Maybe there's just a mental grind of the season and the slump got to him. Maybe there's something going on in his life outside of hockey. Maybe he's just – his hockey IQ isn't high enough to comprehend the system. Well, Marty doesn't like using that word, but the style of hockey that the Canadiens want to play, and it's frustrating him. But it's really
maybe hard. He's sitting on a big contract and he's mailing it in. He's going to wake up 15 months before it's over.
Well,
trying to convince somebody else.
It's, you know what? I'm scratching my head at this point to figure, because it's really, I mean, he's looking like the bad Joel Armia used to look like, right? There's games you don't notice him. Like, you're right. How can you be 6'3" and 220 pounds and not be noticed when you're on the ice? Like, that's hard to do. And it's game after game after game now, and it's not getting better. If anything, it's getting worse. And it's really hard to figure out why. I know last season He really found it difficult with all the trade talk. It upset him. He wants to stay in Montreal. He didn't want to leave. Even at the end of the season, a reporter brought it up again. They're cleaning out their lockers, and he got really agitated that somebody mentioned the trade thing again. And now he looks like a guy who almost wants to be traded, but you know, his name didn't even come up around the trade deadline. Nobody's asking about him. Nobody's taking on that contract with what's left on it with the way he's playing. And you, from the Canadian standpoint, you hope whatever it was during the summer, a long off season again, that he gets himself together and comes back to training camp next year, can be the player that Marc Bergevin thought he was when he went out and got him.
I'll tell you why I started the podcast with Anderson. Because last night I felt was particularly frustrating because Brendan Gallagher was going after Zadorov, like was going after a big man and was giving it and receiving it and was going to the net and was crashing the net and was taking abuse. And, you know, like Anderson's on that bench and he's seeing Gallagher put his body on the line game after game, shift after shift. I think it's embarrassing, Stu. I really think it's embarrassing.
That's why I wonder if there's something else going on. Like it's you look at the way he played in that Stanley Cup playoff run, right? He was hard on the forecheck, finishing all his checks, and that's the way we're used to seeing him playing. It's really hard. Like I said, it's there's a few possibilities there. Does he want out of Montreal? I don't think so. He never wanted out before. Something happened that just turned the switch off on him. And it's really, really hard to figure out what it is. And when they're back in town next week, you know, maybe he'll speak about it and we'll be able to ask him a little bit more. But at this point, it's disappointing because, as I said, as somebody who defended Anderson last season and thought that he's the type of player the Canadiens need in this rebuild moving forward. And, if you remember in Pierre Gervais' book, when he talked about that run to the Stanley Cup final, he said that Josh Anderson was one of the big leaders in the room. He was one of the key guys. And whatever's happened since then, you mentioned Brendan Gallagher. Brendan Gallagher's numbers aren't great, but Brendan Gallagher is still the compete levels there every single night, every single shift. And it was there with Josh Anderson earlier in the season when he wasn't scoring, but it's just not there right now. Is he the season over? Has he mailed it in? Certainly hope not, but the way he's playing, it looks that way.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You know, I think Eric Engels joined me 10 days ago. I think it was give or take 10 days ago. And we were talking about Caden Primeau. And Eric was saying that Caden was using a mental performance coach, and the Canadiens have their own sports psychologist, but he was working on his own with someone outside of the organization on, mental performance. And Primeau said it's helped him a lot. And, he asked Josh Anderson about it and if he felt he needed to talk to a mental performance coach. And Anderson said that he didn't think he needed it right now. And I found that mind-boggling when I heard that, because does that mean he's happy with his performances?
Well, look what the mental performance coach has done for Joel Armia. I mean, he's become the player that we saw in that playoff run again.
Yeah.
Being sent down to Laval helped also. I don't think the Canadiens are going to send Josh Anderson down to Laval, but there needs to be some kind of a wake-up call for him. And I know he'd missed a few games there when he was hurt, and since he's come back, he's been really bad. Is it a lingering injury? But there has to be something to explain why he's been playing the way he's been playing. But I don't, at this point, I don't know what it is. And you would think a mental performance coach, when you're playing this bad, you'd be reaching out for anything, right? I remember earlier in the season when he wasn't scoring and he was joking, you know, he might need to get a voodoo doll, or he might need to light his sticks on fire, or he might need to do something to try and get a goal. So I wouldn't be ruling out anything at this point if I was him, as far as trying to get my game back on track.
Yeah, earlier this afternoon, I was on with Larak Gonzalez on BPM Sports, as I usually am weekdays at around 12:40 p.m. or so. And, you know, we talked about Pezzetta. Pezzetta had 9.5 minutes yesterday. He led the Canadians with 7 hits.
He leads them with hits every game he plays.
He is tremendous bang for your buck in terms of minutes played, what he gives you in those minutes that he plays. He leaves it all on the ice, right? And we all know that he's a 12, 13, maybe even 14 on some teams in the National Hockey League at the forward position. But he never shortchanges you, and he always gives you his heart and soul. I was telling them that I think it was a missed opportunity at one point this season when Pezzetta was a healthy scratch so many games in a row to sit Anderson at least one time and put Pezzetta in, because you want to get the attention of your locker room. That gets it. You do that, and you basically told everyone, my eyes are open. Mm-hmm. I see everything. I know who's giving everything they have, and I know who's giving me 25% of what they have. And it's not going to go on any longer. I don't know why Marty didn't do it. I don't know why the Canadians decided not to do it. If you would have told me that there were teams lining up to acquire Josh Anderson and it was going to negatively impact the possible trade, I would have said I understood that. There's nobody lining up. There's no team that wants him right now. I don't get it.
No, look at the impact sending Armia down to Laval had. I mean, Armia speaks a lot about the mental coach, performance coach, but being sent down to Laval, I think, was a little bit of a shock to the system also. And at this point, sitting Josh Anderson for a game might be a shock to the system that he needs, and maybe through the room too, because there must be some teammates looking on and wondering what's going on. Also, you say, I mean, I'm a big Mike Pezzetta supporter. As you said, he's a 12th, 13th, or 14th forward in the NHL, but he embraces that role of being a fourth liner. He gives you everything he has every single time he's on the ice. And, you know, he's by far not the most talented player on the team, but he leads his team, and he's top 10 last time I looked in the NHL in hits, despite how many games he misses, despite only getting 7 or 8 minutes a game of ice time. And imagine if Josh Anderson played with that same passion, that same willingness to finish every check, which he did in that playoff run in 2021. But boy, it's not there. And he's looking more and more like Joel Armia looked before he had his wake-up call.
Armia deserves a lot of credit. It's 2 months. He's been really, really good. Like really, really good. And
on the PK, one of the reasons their PK is so good, he's so good on the PK. He's so aggressive and he's all over the ice, and he's so hard on the puck and hard on stick checks and anticipating. I mean, I've been one of his biggest critics, because the thing that drives me crazy more than anything watching hockey games is when guys don't give 100% effort when they're in the NHL, making a lot of money, doing something that so many other people would kill to do. And Joel Armia is doing that now. He's playing hard, but there hasn't been many passengers in this Canadiens team this season, but unfortunately, Josh Anderson has become one recently.
Yeah. Armia killed off a penalty, which I think was a 4-minute penalty, like last week or whatever. There was one or two shifts that he was out there. It was absolutely unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, we haven't even talked about Jake Allen yet in New Jersey, but a quick word on Jake Allen. I mean, good for him, eh?
I'm so happy.
Talk about pride, right?
True professional, a class act, a great guy to talk to, loved by his teammates. And Marty St. Louis spoke about this a little while ago, saying he thought the three goalie system was harder on Jake Allen than the other two goalies. And I agree. He was a veteran guy, the end of his career, used to playing more, but he never complained. He never bitched. He never whined. He did everything he could do to support Montembeau and Primo, and they appreciated it. They've spoken to me about how much they appreciated and what a leader he was in the room, and good things happening to good people is always nice to see. And for him, I'm sure this isn't easy because, you know, New Jersey was one of the teams on his no trade list.
Yeah.
Really wanted to go. I'm not sure where his family is, if his family stayed in Montreal or if they went back to New Brunswick or if they're with him there. But uproot, you know, that shows you how much he, like, he had to give up that trade deadline, a trade, no move clause to get traded. But I'm really happy for Jake Allen. He deserves, he's just a good person. And he'll be a good goalie.
Yeah, I don't know this for a fact, Stu, but as you know, when players get traded around the month of March, the families usually don't follow because they got kids in school, right?
Yeah,
exactly. And the kids end up finishing off the school year. But look, in Allen's case, you can tell that, A, he needed to play. Some guys, if they don't play a lot, they play better. Some guys, if they don't play a lot, they get really rusty. I think Allen can't play a lot, but at the same time, not playing very much really hurt him.
Not only not playing,
but I think he needed something to play for too, right? Some kind of motivation, right?
And not only that, I think not only they're not playing, but three goalies and two nets in practice. And Brassard, it's different. They can take Eric Raymond can take one of the goalies over on the other rink and work with them. That's fine with Caden Primeau. You're a young goalie. You go on the other rink with the goalie coach. You work on some technical stuff. But if you're a veteran like Jake Allen, do you really want to be doing that? Or do you want to be on the ice with your teammates in the real practice and in one of the nets? And I think that's another thing that just mentally was hard for him. You're just not feeling proud. You're not even there's games and you're not even a backup, right? You're the third guy. You're watching in the press box or in the locker room. So he needed a change. I really agree with what Marty said, that the three-goalie system was harder on him than anybody else, but he handled it like a true professional, and really happy to see him now in New Jersey being able to do what he's doing.
Hey, I know you were really paying attention when Jeff Gordon joined Jimmy Murphy and Pierre Maguire on the Sick Podcast, the eye test a couple of days ago on Tuesday. I had Pierre Maguire on the Sick Podcast here with me on Wednesday to give us his thoughts on what Jeff Gordon had to say. And you liked it so much that you wrote an article about it.
I did. I mean, it's rare you get Jeff Gordon, and especially in an interview like that. And interesting to hear what he said. And one thing, it's watching that podcast, it's sort of, you know, I've only had one one-on-one with Jeff Gordon since he took the job. But he strikes me as a guy who's got a great sense of humor. He had a few funny lines in there. He was talking about, you know, the questions he get asked most. And he says, well, people ask me basically more, how's my French doing? And, you know, first question after, how's the prospects, is how's your French? And he's, you know, we don't hear from him much. And, you know, the column I wrote is, it's easy to forget during the season with all the focus on Marty St. Louis and on Kent Hughes that Jeff Gordon's the main guy. He's the main guy pulling the strings in this rebuild. He's the guy that Jeff Molson brought in to start everything. He's the one who hired Ken Hughes. He's the one who hired Marty St. Louis. So it was interesting to get his thoughts. One of the other interesting things I found is what he said. One of the things he enjoys most about being a GM is being in rinks and watching players. And as much as they brought analytics into the Canadiens, something they didn't really have before, he's built this whole analytics department. He's still a big believer in watching these guys and seeing them and getting a firsthand look at how they're doing. I think that's really important because you look at, you know, a team like the Maple Leafs, for example, and Kyle Dubas now with Pittsburgh, his as a GM with him, it's almost all analytics. Everything is analytics based, and analytics are fine, but you can't just base everything you do as a hockey general manager or an executive vice president of hockey operations on analytics alone. And to know that Jeff Gordon is one of those guys who still trusts the eye test and still trust what he sees and trust what his scouts see and say. And they're talking about getting Jacob Fowler, and the Canadiens put that video behind the scenes video after the draft last year. And they had one of their scouts sort of arguing about Jacob Fowler, and one of the scouts saying, you know, he just wins. You know, the other guy might have better technique and he might have this and he might have that, but this guy just wins. He knows how to win. And that's what you want in a goalie. And they went and got Jacob Fowler, and boy, that's a really good pick right now. Maybe his analytic goal, whatever goalie analytics are, weren't the best.
Yeah.
By watching him play, the scout said, this guy just wins. And they drafted him, and boy, it's sure looking like a good move.
You talk about Gordon's sense of humor. If I had to go into that fridge behind me and grab a bit of TB and bring another one with me and go to the pub or just have him here and have a couple of beers with anyone in the Canadiens organization, I think it would be him more than anyone else, because he seems like a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. He's got a dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
He really caught my attention when his opening, his first press conference with members of the Montreal media. Remember the question by Marc Dufoy? Remember his answer?
Which one? Which question?
It went something like this. I'm Marc Dufoy. Speaking about candidates, there's one who has already shown he's interested. You must have heard about Patrick Roy. And he answers back, I've heard of him, yes.
Yeah.
And like the whole room just starts laughing.
Yeah.
That was
the other funny. The other one, my favorite quote from that press conference is when somebody asked him about the friendship him and Kent Hughes, how they were best friends. And he says, no, we know each other. We're not best friends. He says, trust me, you don't want my best friends running the Canadians. That was another guy. But I agree with you. He seems like the kind of guy I'd love to be able to go have a beer off the record, no tape recorder, no nothing. And I'm sure he would just be a really funny guy. I also talked about how his son's at Boston University also.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get all the inside scoops on what's going on in the team. So he looks like a fun guy to be around.
I wonder how the other players are around his son, knowing that, you know,
well,
his son's one phone call away from the big boss, you know, right?
And Hughes' son plays there also. So there's a real family connection with Boston University.
And, you know, it's funny because last week when we were at Hurley's Irish Pub, Jimmy Murphy and Pierre Maguire were broadcasting from there, and they invited me down, and I dropped in, and they were taking questions from viewers, and someone asked a question, Pierre, knowing where the Canadians will probably draft and knowing what their needs are, if you were them, who would you draft? And without a second's hesitation, Pierre Maguire said Cole Iserman, who's with the U.S. National Development Program, and he's basically scoring at a Cole Caulfield pace over the last couple of years. He's also a winger, but he's bigger. He stands about 6 foot tall. And Maguire said they have Lane Hudson at BU. They have Luke Tuck at BU. They know the coaches there. The coaches have done a real good job with their players.
Yeah.
They play in significant tournaments, big games. They play in the Beanpot. They're familiar with the organization. That would be a good player. And I don't know if they're going to take Cole Iserman, but the reasoning, it makes a lot of sense.
This rebuild isn't going to go anywhere if they don't find forwards who can score. It's that simple. If they, you know, if they don't get more forwards who can score, it's going to be a repeat of what we're seeing this year, right? They're going to compete. They're going to have 39 one-goal games or whatever they've had, and they're going to lose most of them because they just don't have the offense to put the puck in the net. And I think at some point, if they don't add more forwards who can score, it's going to become really frustrating to that number one line with Suzuki, Caulfield, and Slavkovsky. Like, we need some help here. You know, it's like one first line and three fourth lines right now. So they got it moving forward. They got it, whether it's through the draft, whether it's through trades. Kirby Dach coming back next year will help. Kenny's, you know, is he ever going to be able to stay healthy? You know, injuries in Chicago, injuries here now, back-to-back seasons. But they need they need to get some. That's why with the Rheinbacher pick last week, I found was a little surprising because they're so loaded on defense. And again, if they don't find forwards who can score, you know, it's been a problem with this team for too long.
Yeah. But once again, the Anaheim Ducks showed us that you can trade a top two defenseman and get a top two line forward in return, right? In their deal of Drysdale for Cutter Gauthier, right? So maybe you're right. They didn't draft a forward last year. I would have liked for them to draft a forward last year as well. They didn't, and they drafted David Rheinbacher, and all the best to David, who's going to be making his debut. You know, we are recording just before the game, so we'll see what happens there. And we'll have our eye on it, obviously, and it's something that we're going to talk about on Monday.
Gordon, in that interview also, Tony, you talked about how they realize how important skill is and how hard it is to get. And he said how going into this offseason with the draft and everything, they're looking to make moves. They know they need to add. Like, they know. I mean, if we know, they know. They know they need to add skill up front for this thing to work.
Okay, so at one point, Gordon was asked about adding to the mix, and he talked about adding skill. And he said, if there's skill out there, you know, we have to have our eyes open. And he you know, whether it was a blockbuster trade or it was a free agent signing, mm-hmm. knowing where they are now and where they look to go over the next couple of years, do you think either or is coming this summer?
A trade, yes. I think free agency, they're probably another year away.
He spoke also about
when the Rangers got Panarin, and he said with the Rangers, it wasn't a case, okay, let's get him. They had debates like, are we ready? Like, are we ready now to go make that commitment to a Panarin? Are we ready to bring that guy in here where he's going to be able to get us over that next hump, or are we going to wait? So he said it wasn't just like, he's available, let's grab him right now. It was sort of a timing thing too. It was like, are we ready in this rebuild to bring that guy in? I don't think they're ready for that now. I don't know if they have the assets now to make that sort of blockbuster trade. It's always hard. You know, it's going to be hard to get free agents to come here. It always will be in Montreal just for taxes and weather and all the regular reasons. But I think this season will, this draft, we're going to see another trade similar to Newhook and Doc, where they take one of their first round picks and maybe package it with something to try and get another 23, 24 year old forward with some potential to score. And then I think they're a year away, you know, after next year, Armia's contract's off the books. They might have a little bit more salary cap wiggle room to make a bigger trade or maybe attract a free agent. But again, you know, I don't think Montreal's at the top of the list for many free agents when they become free agents.
So over the last couple of years, Romanov was traded to the Islanders and a couple of draft picks went, ended up eventually going to Chicago, and they get Kirby Doc, a couple of draft picks, and they get Newhook last year. Let's just say they want to go back and get another young player, former first rounder, like Doc, like Newhook, and instead of accepting draft picks, the other team wants Joshua Roy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having a lengthy conversation, or are you saying he's off the table?
No, I'm having a lengthy conversation.
But yeah. Definitely. So he hasn't shown you enough for you to think.
He's shown me enough.
Six in him?
Well, it depends also who you're getting in return, right? What you're getting back in return. He's shown me enough that he's a really smart hockey player. Connor Bedard said he was one of the smartest players he'd ever played with after they played at the World Juniors. But is he the guy who's going to score 35 goals? We don't know. And at this point, there's not many guys I'd say are untouchable. Like Josh, I don't think Joshua was at the point in his career now where you can say he's an untouchable. I just don't think so.
Kaden Gooley an untouchable?
That would take a big price coming back. That would be a big trade. Like Kaden Gooley, you know, I wrote a column this week just that like Mark Bergeron has been criticized for a lot of moves he made, a lot of draft picks he made. That was a fantastic draft pick at 16 overall. Kaden Gooley, you know, playing the minutes he's playing now, playing on his wrong side, playing against the other team's top team every night. Kaden Gooley is going to be a really, like, I can basically guarantee you that Kaden Gooley is going to be a really good, solid top two, if not top four defenseman for a long time in the NHL. I'm not convinced with the small sample size we've seen so far of Joshua Roy that he's guaranteed he's going to be a top six forward in the NHL.
Yeah.
Forward.
On Wednesday night, Pierre Maguire on this podcast called Kaden Gooley an untouchable.
Yeah, I just think he's so, not only he's so good on the ice, he's so mature. Like when I talk to him, you can't believe he's 22. He's such a mature leader, responsible guy. I remember talking with his junior coach after the Canadiens drafted him, Mark Habshot, I think it was, and he said he's just a winner. Like he does everything. Everything's about winning, and he does everything right. And I've seen that since he's been with the Canadiens. He's a really smart player on the ice, smart player off the ice. He can play with an edge. He's got a little bit of a mean streak to him when he needs it. So if you were listening to trades for him, there better be a lot coming back your way. And sometimes you got to give up a lot to get a lot, right?
Yeah.
To me, he's as close to untouchable as you can get with his team right now.
Going back to Joshua Roy, upon hearing that he was hurt and out for 4 to 6 mm-hmm. weeks, I mean, I was on once again BPM Sports Radio with Larac and Gonzalez. I think this was yesterday. I spoke of I think the Canadiens missed out on an opportunity with Joshua Roy, and I think they would have sent him down to Laval. And I said, I know I'm going to get a lot of heat from people because you know, the injury could have happened in Laval. Yeah. I get it, right? Yeah. But, you know, there was an opportunity to send them there and where he could have helped the team. And of course they're playing big games and they're trying to get into the playoffs. And now he's out 4 to 6 weeks. And by the way, based on that timeline, if Laval does make the playoffs and if they do win the first round, he probably will be able to return somewhere in the second round. Right. Mm-hmm. Stu, I got so much abuse yesterday on social media. You know, there's days that we love what we do. Yeah. And there's days that we hate what we do, right? Even though it's an amazing job. Yesterday, I so hated my job. You know what? It didn't happen here, but on social media, it didn't happen on our Facebook or YouTube or whatever. But on social media, I got destroyed because everyone was like, oh, here's Tony, give us a break. Like, this is not very good opinion by you. You're basically saying that, you know, you would have set up to Laval this way. He didn't get hurt. And folks, I've been saying for 3 or 4 weeks now that I think you should be in Laval, right? So it wasn't send him to Laval the day before. You shouldn't have played that night. It's about 3 or 4 weeks now. I've wanted him to be in Laval because he already showed me he's an NHLer. He already showed me that he's got a spot on the third line next year for sure. Who knows, maybe on the second, maybe. And so he's got nothing else to prove to me here up top. And you have a chance to go down and be the leader of that hockey team in Laval and help them try and get into the playoffs. Anyway.
Maybe, just total hypothetical, or maybe during the trade deadline talks or whatever, maybe there were other teams in the NHL interested in Joshua Watt, like you were mentioning before. Is he untouchable? Yeah. If that's the case, maybe that's a reason to keep playing him in the NHL to show that he can play in the NHL and that he's ready to play in the NHL. I think it's more a case of just the kid was playing so well. They wanted to continue to see if he can keep that consistency, which is the main biggest thing for a young player. And Kenny's made it pretty clear that we're going to send him down at some point. You know, as he said, it would be easier if they knew Laval was in the playoffs or knew they were out. They were sort of borderline. But maybe that's possibly a reason. I don't know. But I understand sending him down because Laval does need that boost. And I think he'd play – if he was playing on the third or fourth line in Montreal, I would say you send him down. But he was getting he was getting minutes. He was playing good minutes up here, and that's you can't buy that experience.
So, folks, you know those minutes? It usually lasts a couple of minutes, sometimes a couple of hours, not more than that, right? Where you actually – it's not a good day on the job, and you actually hate your job for a couple of minutes or a couple of hours. It's when the messages that you get are – you're a pig, you're a slob, you're fat, you're nothing but overweight, or you're a clown. And you know what? Like, I know I'm overweight and I know I'm obese and stuff like that, so I don't need anyone reminding me. But I'll say this. It's not because I have a certain opinion or that we have certain opinions that don't agree with your opinions, that differ from your opinions, that I'm a clown or someone else is a clown. All right. It's mind boggling to me on if you don't have the same opinion as someone else, you're a clown. Listen, we can have different opinions. Yeah. Okay.
But believe me, we can be right or we can be wrong. Go back to last week. We're talking, but Tony.
Believe me when I tell you, I'm not a clown. That I can guarantee you. I'm not a clown. All right.
Go back to last year. I look like a clown now saying that the Habs should keep Josh Anderson. Right. That was my opinion back then. I still stuck with, like, I was wrong with that opinion. It looks like I was wrong now, but That's one of the beauties of sports and being sports fans is that you can debate. Well, if everybody agreed on everything, it would be pretty boring, no?
Stu, I prefer members of the media like you that have an opinion, even if you're going to be wrong 7 times out of 10 or 5 times out of 10 or 3 times out of 10. Doesn't matter how many times you're going to be right or how many times you're going to be wrong. But if you're going to have an opinion, there's something to talk about. But when there's some that don't have any opinions, well, I think it could be this. On the other hand, I think it could be that. I think it's black, but part of me thinks it's white. I think it's white, but part of me thinks it's black. Anyway, some people have actually gone on to make a lot of money, actually having pretty much no opinions. But anyway, that's up to them. Mark
DeSantis. You're not one of them. You're not one of them, Tony.
I can guarantee you I'm not one of them. Mark DeSantis, former coach of the Montreal Impact back in the day, who's the assistant coach of LAFC, said about a year and a half ago, he took himself off of Twitter and he was asked why. And he said, well, because, you know, people send me messages that they don't agree with what I said or how I coach or what I do. And they call me a clown. And he said, you know what? Tell me we don't agree. Let's have a discussion. Yeah. But you're going to call me a clown. So anyway, he took himself off of Twitter. I'll still stay on social media.
I mean, it's a cesspool, right? What people say behind I know in a sports editor, you had a reporter who was really getting upset from the comments. But just don't read. I think it's who's it with TSN? Gord Miller, I think, who doesn't have the comments open on his Twitter account just for that, right? He doesn't need to post what he wants to post, and he doesn't really – whatever you want to say about it, that's not interested.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we talked about Gordon, and I agree with you. I think they're going to make a trade this summer. I don't think they're going to go to free agency. I think they're going to try to go to free agency 2 to 3 years from now. I don't know if it's going to work because, as we all know, Montreal is not an easy place to attract. We know what the Canadians are doing.
They're trying to make it more attractive, guys.
They're trying to make it attractive by, you know, Jeff Gordon, who's class. Kent Hughes, who's class. Marty St. Louis, who's class. They're trying to become that prestigious, classy organization again. They want to treat all their players with class. That's why they didn't want to send Jake Allen down to Laval. They you know what, Jeff Petrie, they looked out for him and they traded him to where he wanted to go. You know, they wish all their players well, and so they're trying to make the word get around that the Montreal Canadiens are a classy place and it's a place where, you know, you're probably going to win in the future, and let's see what happens. So let's see what happens there. But
and with a coach who can make the game fun also.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think the Canadiens should come out? And I said a couple of days ago that I don't want to know what's going on with Marty. Like, I'm not going to dig. We know it's a family situation. That's good enough for me. I'll respect the privacy, and I wish his family well. But some members of the media are calling for the Canadiens to come out and to give – if you're not going to go into detail because it's private, but to give an update or to give a timeline or something like that, or are you expecting anything like that, or you're fine with?
You know what? I think when Marty comes back, and who knows, maybe it's when they come back from this road trip, maybe it's not the end of the season. At some point, it's up to him if he wants to. I'm sure the first media conference he has, he's going to be asked. And at that point, it's up to him if he wants to divulge it or not. I mean, everything that happens in your family, Tony, you don't want to go on your podcast and talk about it. I'm the same way.
Absolutely not.
Head coach of the Montreal Canadiens is a very bright spotlight. You know, he's in the media more than any politicians in this province, and talks, and people probably listen to him more than what they listen to what the politicians say. But Marty St. Louis has treated everybody in the media with class since he's taken over this job.
Big time.
He deserves to be treated that way in return. And it's up to him. If he wants to divulge, I don't think it's up to the team. I think it's up to Marty. If he's comfortable divulging whatever it was, the situation that his family's going with, fine. And if he's not, that's his business and his family's business. I don't think it's he's not a politician. He's not running our lives. He's not making decisions about our lives. He's coaching the Montreal Canadiens. What happens in his personal life, is any family, whatever it is he's dealing with, that's between him and his family.
Wasn't Marty really something the way he handled the retirement of Bob Laflamme, and especially
Pat Hickey.
Montreal Gazette situation? That was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a class act. He's a class act. And Pat was shocked. I was sitting about right behind Pat in the press room after he covered his last game for the Gazette, and Marty got down, and you know, before the game, they presented him with a Canadian sweater, and Marty got down and shook his hand. He's a classy guy. As he said, you know, he had a great quote when I had a one-on-one with him after he got the job. And, you know, we talked about how his dad never really played sports. You know, his dad was one of, I think, 10 kids or something, and they worked in the mill, and he never had time to play sports. The only thing he ever did was, you know, maybe on the weekend play with his brothers on the outdoor rink. And he said, my dad didn't teach me how to be an athlete. My dad had to be a great athlete or a good athlete. He taught me how to be a good man. And that's Marty St. Louis is a good man. He really is. I've seen it. The way he handles the media in front of the camera, the way he handles the media off the camera, the way he handles his players, the way his players talk about him. He's a classy individual, and he deserves to be treated that way.
Yeah. Lane Hutson, Jacob Fowler, they were two names. Those were two names that came up in that conversation that Jimmy Murphy, Pierre McGuire had with Jeff Gordon on the Sick Podcast, the eye test on Tuesday. Both a fantastic season, both up for individual awards.
Yeah, and Lane Hutson, one of the things Jeff Gordon talked about was talk about Boston University and the coaching staff, how they've worked on his defense and his physical plays. You know, he's got 12 goals and 32 assists in 33 games this season. We know, and Jeff Gordon said this, we know the offense the kid's got, right? I mean, there's no doubt, you know, and Gordon even said he's the kind of guy he could be the power play guy, right? He's the position that Mike Matheson's in right now. There's no doubt about that. The question for him is always going to be his size moving forward. Is he going to? I think we're going to see him before the end of the season play a couple of games. I think once Boston University's out, they're going to sign him and he's going to come play a couple of games like Jordan Harris did and like Cole Caulfield did after his last year in university, etc. But again, is he going to be big enough to play that game in the NHL, and how long will it take for him to be ready to do that? And with Jacob Fowler, as you talked about earlier, I mean, what a story this kid is turning out to be. He's just lights out with Boston College. I don't think Lane Hutson's not going to win the Hobey Baker Award, I don't think, but there's a pretty good chance Jacob Fowler is going to win the Mike Richter Award. I mean, 27-5-1 record at Boston College with a 2.23 goals against average and a .923 save percentage as a freshman. As a 19-year-old kid in his first year in that league, that's quite remarkable.
The Sick Podcast is brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group, recently named by Deloitte and CIBC as one of Canada's best-managed companies. The country's leading business award recognizing innovative and world-class companies, the best-managed Canadian companies. Designation fuels Energy's purpose of creating progress for their customers, their employees, and their communities. Join a winning team and check out Energy's career page for available opportunities. Also brought to you in part by these guys right over here, Labitte-TB, Brewing Quebec, a winner of a dozen international awards. Labitte-TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. Labitte-TB. Embrace your true nature. Also brought to you in part by Playground. Light up your Monday nights at Playground with their electrifying musical Monday karaoke nights. Step into the spotlight or cheer on your friends as you dive into a world of music, laughter, and unforgettable moments every Monday starting at 9 p.m. And to make your night even sweeter, enjoy their $5 drink specials as of 7 p.m. So go up, grab the mic, pick your favorite song, and show what you've got. Whether you're a karaoke king or queen or just there to soak in the fun, there's no better way to kick off your week. Playground is your ultimate destination for entertainment. Playground, just over the Mercier Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. Playground. All right, okay. Fowler, I asked Pierre Maguire, I said, Pierre, you look into your crystal ball, what do you see? He said, Tony, if they win the NCAA championship, so he, you know, and if they do, chances are then next year they'll probably, a lot of players will move out. They'll leave. They won't be as strong. Players want to win a championship while they're in a certain team or at a certain program. But he goes, if they go all the way, he goes, I would bring Fowler to Laval as of next season, right away. And he talked about Fowler getting already, I would say about 70%, 75% of the starts already next season. And he said, potentially, he could do one season in the American Hockey League next season. Then after that, he's ready for the big show.
Possible. The thing is, the way they're set up now, Montembeau's got the three-year contract that kicks in next season. And yes. Primo's got 1 year left, right? So,
yeah.
In that way, it makes sense if you play him in Laval next season. You get 1 year to look at him, decide.
And you get a year to look at Primo and decide on Primo.
You get to look at Primo also, and either you can trade Primo. If Fowler looks like he's ready to play, you can trade Primo at the trade deadline next year and bring him up. So it makes sense. I can see that from those reasons. You know, Caden Primo won the Richter Award also in university. I remember talking with his university coach this season about it. And he felt that Primo needed another year in university after that. He said,
look at that.
I might be comparing apples and oranges because from what, in a way, because I know Caden Primo, I think mentally he has been more fragile. Fowler's just got a swagger to him. And Jeff Gordon spoke about that. So maybe from a mental perspective, the coach thought Primo could use another year in university to be ready for pro hockey. With Fowler, he's definitely got the swagger. That's one of the reasons the Canadian drafted him. And you're right. I mean, if they do and they win everything in NCAA and he wins the Richter Award and they win the Frozen Four what more is there for him to gain going back for another season, especially if the team's not going to be as good and the goaltending situation in Laval is not really great. I can see why Perry would say that, because it makes sense in a lot of ways. And if they think he's mentally ready for that, and from what I've read about the kid and what I've heard about the kid and what Jeff Gorton said about the kid and what the scouts said about him in that behind the scenes video they had, as I said, he wins everywhere. Like he's just a real, you need that cockiness to be a goalie, and especially be a goalie in Montreal. And that wouldn't shock me if that happened.
The Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro is also brought to you in part by Accent Insurance Solutions. Visit their website at accentassurance.com. You know, all insurance isn't created equal, and you know where to find the right solution for you. Accent Insurance. Accent doesn't sell insurance. They shop insurance for you to find the right product right on the money, whatever your insurance needs, home, automobile, or business. Call the Accent team today at 514-363-3636 and get the right solution at the right price. Once again, accentassurance.com. Also, the episode is brought to you by the St. Patrick's Day Shavers Manscaped. This year, don't just chase rainbows. Make your own pot of gold and groom your little leprechaun with the leaders in below-the-kilt care. Look at Stu Cowan smiling it up. Say goodbye to your clover forest, Stu Cowan, with Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0, and let your confidence shine bright. Embrace the luck of the Irish and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Manscaped.com. Use code Montreal for 20% off plus free shipping. That's 20% off and free shipping with code Montreal at manscaped.com. Stu, in ending, I'll be back on Monday night. So Sunday night in Seattle for the Canadians. Tuesday night, they're going to be in Colorado. What do you expect Sunday night in Seattle versus Mitch Garber's team?
I think they'll bounce back from, as I said, there's not many games this season where the compete level hasn't been right there for the Canadians this season. I think, a little break in the schedule, they'll be rested, they'll be ready to go. I think it'll be, I'm going to say another one goal game. Let's put it that way. Another one goal game. And what'll work better for the Canadians if they lose a one goal game, right? Moving forward to this. So I'm going to say they lose by a goal in Seattle. I wish I was on that trip because, God, that arena in Seattle is one of the most beautiful arenas I've ever seen. It's just gorgeous.
It's on my bucket list, and I hope to get there one day. Stu, once again, it's Friday night. I'll let you go. We're going to give it a little bit of a shorter show to know tonight than usual. Once again, reminding everyone, we're taping this right before Rheinbacher's debut at Belleville, where tonight, once again, he makes his Laval Rocket debut. So at the time that this is playing, he's already into it, and the game is probably over right about now. But for our comments on it, Monday night when I'm back live, I'll be talking about Rheinbacher's debut with the Laval Rocket. We'll talk to you again soon, Stu. Cheers, man.
Hey, Tony, have a good weekend, my friend.
All right, have a good weekend to you as well. There you have it. Stu Cowan from the Montreal Gazette and HockeyInsideOut.com. For Shane Gaumont at Master Control, Shane, thanks for being in on a Friday night. Have a great weekend. And to a great weekend to all of you. He is Gaumont. I'm Marinaro. We'll be back again on Monday night, The Sick Podcast, 10 p.m. right here on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and all social media platforms. You can listen to us. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple if you can. It's our way of feeling the love. And share the word. Tell your friends about it. Tell them to subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's absolutely free. Once again, have a great weekend. Cheers.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow The Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.